Come disease, come vacations on beautiful coastal parts of the country, come new jobs, come adorable kittens. Nothing.
Did you say nude jobs?
New, not nude.
Okay.
Nothing will stop another episode of Binary Jazz eventually showing up into your inbox or wherever it is that podcasts go. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I am joined, as per usual, with my friends, Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet. And it's been a minute.
Just when you thought you got rid of us, we're back.
Yeah. I have, go ahead, Gary. Your news is obviously more important than mine.
No, it's fine. Go for it. It's all you.
I was just going to announce that I have conducted, I said this on Twitter last night, which for you listeners will be a week ago. I have gone through the 2020 rite of passage, which is getting a COVID test.
Oh, shit. I'd missed that. Really?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, that sucks, man. Dang. Sorry to hear that.
I as of like before going into the test, I was about 80% sure that that's not what was going on. And then Aaron has been experiencing symptoms too, like, you know, a little bit like a day or so delayed from me. And I said like, yeah, I can't taste things very well. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. And then she started not being able to taste or smell things. And then she did tons of like, you know, panic research. And she's like, oh shit, I think we have COVID. So now I'm a little bit less certain that the results are going to come back negative, but we have a kitten. So the kitten makes everything better.
Well, I'm glad you got tested. And I'm glad that if it does come back that you have a kitten to quarantine with.
Yes.
I feel like these are just like key entertainment points.
We actually debated because we weren't sure whether or not it would be responsible to go get the kitten. And I'm like, no, we're getting the fucking kitten because the kitten is the only thing
happening
that makes this better. Like, I'm sorry, we will be careful. We will wear masks. We will like try not to like touch things or whatever. Like, but we are getting the kitten because the kitten is the only thing that's going to make it better.
Mm-hmm. How would you rate your COVID test on discomfort on a level from 0 to 10?
They are doing spit tests. At a lot of the Utah test sites, they're doing spit tests because spit tests are as effective as the deep nasal brain swab. And you can give the test to somebody else and they can do it themselves, which makes a big difference. So
I have two questions.
So it was very, as far as discomfort, like zero discomfort, because all I needed to do is spit into a thing.
Okay. Now I only have one question.
Actually, I'll give it a one because I actually spit too much the first time. So I had to do it twice.
Good problems.
So out of a zero to ten, I would say it's a one.
My first question was going to be like spit test, like is that literally just like you spit like in a cup or on like a slide or something? Or like someone spits on you and your reaction indicates, but you already qualified how it spit. Ew. Yeah, you're fine. And I forgot what my second question was. It was how long until you expect to hear results?
They said 24 to 36 hours. So within the next, today or tomorrow, basically. Aaron's sister got tested over the weekend and she got her results on Monday. She got tested on Sunday and got her results on Monday. So I would expect a similar turnaround.
Yeah, when I got tested, they said it could even be like 3 to 6 days, and then it ended up being the next day. So I don't know.
Well,
I think my first words after the swab were, I can't believe I stood in line for this.
That's fantastic.
The nurse was so pleasant, but I was so mad about how uncomfortable it was. Because I was like, I've been through like awkward medical things. This will be a breeze. And then I just got so like, just stop this.
Yeah, I guess what I've heard is that since talking to people about it, is that it's less that it like hurts. I was imagining that like it's gonna like go up in there and it's gonna like hurt. It's gonna like just be scratchy and like whatever. But it's less that it hurts and more that it just feels really weird and uncomfortable and a little bit like the one of my coworkers said that it feels like you need to sneeze without like the lung component of sneezing. Like it's just like the face ticklishness.
Yeah, oh, it's like
this is more uncomfortable than PHP method chaining.
Well, no, I think it's so uncomfortable and unfathomable that your brain interprets it as pain. Because yeah. I found myself immediately wanting to like struggle and like move my, like just basically like a child, just be like, and I was so composed going in and just being like, this is fine. I'm just doing this. And then when she started, I just was like, like trying to squirm away.
No.
Yeah. Just because I was just like, this is the worst. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. No, I was nervous about the nasal swab, so I was very happy. Like I did a little bit of research before, like to see, because I knew that Aaron's sister had gotten the spit test too. So like I was like, okay, mm-hmm. So where, like, how do we know?
Really, where do I need to go?
Kinda. And so like the place that we would normally go, which is University of Utah medical stuff, they said they switched to all saliva tests and all their, well, in their main testing locations a few months ago.
That's so awesome.
So yeah, that was like, okay, cool. That's where I'm going then.
Meanwhile, I was in line and there was a little girl in front of me in line with her dad. And like, so she was in like the kind of booth like thing that they had constructed next to mine. And like, she was just like, this was like no big deal. And I was like wriggling and just being like, ugh.
So all the at least the U of U testing places are all like the drive-through thing. So I never left my car.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So like you just kind of go in a line. They've constructed this thing out of barricades. It's sort of like a Disneyland line, you know, like where it goes back and forth and whatever. So you go through the barricades and then they take your name and your birthday. And whatever, and then they ask you your name and your birthday like five more times, and it's funny because like when I first check in, they have this person with the laptop and whatever going around, and it's like, okay, he asked me for my name and my birthday. He's like, we write the name, make sure it matches what he says. Okay, they're gonna ask you this like five more times, so that's cool. So
don't change your answer.
Yeah,
don't change your answer. Well, I was adopted.
They did in fact ask five times, so that was accurate.
I remember they did that when I had surgery as well. And like, obviously I want them to be checking that I'm the right person and like all this, but it got really like, I started like, it's when you repeat something enough, you start being like,
Is this my birthday?
Is this like, who am I? Is this why I'm here? Like they also kept having me repeat the procedure. And for one, I can't pronounce it. So then I was like, this is a disaster. I was just like shaking and just being like, just please, let's do this.
I love the idea when you go in for like surgery that they will take a Sharpie if it's like something you have two of and mark the one you're supposed to do surgery on, mark the other one with like a big X, like not this one, whatever. Hand or leg or I guess lung. I don't know. I was really hoping that I would get that like a Sharpie in my anatomy when I had a
surgeon came in and like signed the side that is like where everything's happening. And I was like, thanks.
Yeah, they definitely use Sharpie on Erin's knee, but I don't think they put an X on her other knee.
Maybe I've been watching too much
more,
Scrubs.
That's more confusing. Wait, just one mark is all we need.
Wait, it's the treasure map. It's right here. The treasure's in this guy's leg.
Is the X where we go or where we avoid?
Right.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm sure they've got this covered.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the new cat.
Yes, thank you. Yes, she's adorable.
That's lovely.
She purrs as soon as you. I mean, she's been purring almost nonstop since we had her.
What's her name?
Her name is Juniper. Her name was originally Biso, but we renamed her Juniper. She is Russian bluish. She's definitely got that Russian blue coloring. And she's incredibly sweet. And like they handed her to us and she immediately was cuddling and purring and yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I feel I've been derelict in my duties of keeping you updated on animals around here, but we've had lots of visitors. We don't have new animals, but we did briefly. We've had lots of visitors. Like a friend of mine was passed through town recently and my parents were in town and my brother's in town this weekend. So I've sort of had my head in a bunch of places. But we had a baby squirrel as a resident for a while.
Oh, nice.
It fell from the tree once and we sort of watched and Mama Squirrel retrieved it. It fell again and Mama Squirrel didn't retrieve it. We put it in a box and she finally came and got it. And the third time we did the same thing with the box, but after 4 hours of it was longer than 4 hours. I spent 4 hours on the porch. So it was probably closer to 6 or 8 hours of people camping on the porch to make sure none of the local cats got the squirrel in the box. We decided we need to move it inside for the night. And, so for about 3 days, we had a baby squirrel and the kids fed it and Rhonda took it out to see if it was ready to climb the tree again. And finally, we called a local wildlife rehab place and went and dropped it off. I should share pictures of this because, wow, it was something.
Is it tiny? Like how small, baby squirrel?
So the first time it was very tiny, which was probably 3 weeks ago. Last week, the third encounter, it was... I mean, it looked like a juvenile squirrel, like it hadn't like beefed up like an adult squirrel and was a little on the small side, but not, I mean, certainly not like a, oh my gosh, so fragile. Like it just, you know, was young and still learning and
still figuring out that it wasn't a flying squirrel.
Yeah. So we have a picture like of all the kids like holding it and feeding it. And when Rhonda would go down there to feed it, like she would get out of the box and it would like climb and just snuggle right there by her hair. Pretty dang adorable. And I was like, I was ready. I'm like, all right, well, let's just build an enclosure in the basement and we'll like slowly work and rehab this thing. And I was like researching how to build this and I was budgeting out like the best way to do it and finding out the chicken wire is too open. This world can escape through that. So you need to be smaller. And then Rhonda was like, oh, I found a place we can take it to. I'm like,
Rhonda's like, you know, there's people that like, this is what they do.
I'm like, yeah, that seems like the responsible thing to do. But like, is that really what we want to do? Like, that are we're sure
we want to do the responsible thing?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, just to be clear, obviously,
it's very weird not being able to taste things. I didn't notice that I wasn't able to smell things. That was not a thing that I noticed. And then Erin pulled out and like said, "I'm going to do an experiment." And she got out these essential oils yesterday. To see if we could smell anything. So we had like a cinnamon essential oil and a geranium and a grapefruit and a pine needle or something. Mm-hmm. And neither of us could smell them hardly at all.
Oh, wow.
Like I could get very, very faint whiffs.
Mm-hmm. As you said those, Allison, could you smell them? Like as he said them or imagine what they smell like?
Well, then when you said cinnamon, I was like, that's a great idea. Like, I was just like, I need to go smell cinnamon.
I can't think of what geranium smells like, I guess is where I was going with this. Like, bam, geranium. I'm like,
it's pretty, I would say, stereotypically flowery. Like, if you think of flowers, like what they smell like.
Like that green smell.
Geranium.
Okay. I mean, it's probably... It's probably in the diffuser at some point. I just don't know it.
But yeah, I didn't notice that. I mean, I usually can't smell out of my nose half the time anyway. So like, I was like, whatever, this is, I just thought it was the taste thing. And they asked me about the smell thing and I didn't know, so I didn't realize that was a thing too, but that's apparently a thing.
Yeah. Jeez.
Erin also said that she, doing some research, she said that in the cases where people have lost their smell and taste, usually that is the less serious COVID cases, the sort of the outpatient cases as opposed to the inpatient. So I don't know. I feel better today and yesterday than I did earlier this week. I felt like shit. But it wasn't even like I felt like shit the way that I felt like shit earlier this year, like in February when we got really, really sick. That was horrible. This was like, I feel a little bit achy. I have a little bit of a cough. Like I have a fever of like 1 degree. Like the only thing that made us think was that we've been having plumbers coming over doing whole shit for the last month, really. And on Friday they came over. There are these two Hispanic guys and they're in the basement. And I know they're like, we have had everybody wear masks and they were wearing masks, but when they were in the basement doing the work, they weren't wearing masks because they were just around each other. And one of them is coughing pretty heavily. And so it made us think, you know, well I hope that it's just another illness or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that was the vector. I don't know. It would make sense. It would make the most amount of sense because when we were in Mendocino, and that was the day after we got back from Mendocino, when we were in Mendocino, we were super careful. We were hand sanding everything. We were in an Airbnb wearing masks. I mean, we were in hotels when we stopped in Reno, both out and back. But again, you know, they required masks inside the building, hand sanding whenever, you know, we did anything out and in. And so I don't, it seems like the weak link is maybe the plumbers, which or
I think that's
or like the cool Halloween event that Erin went to earlier this week when all of the kids' friends' parents refused to wear masks, and like her and like three other families were like huddling over off alienated from the rest of the group because they were the ones that were wearing masks.
It's so rough.
It's been a thing, dude. It's been a thing. Like her, one of our friends like posted in the group, like, we're going to wear masks and the masks are required by this place that we're going. And with cases rising, you know, we should all be careful or do our part, whatever. And people got super pissed. Like they got pissed. Why are you telling me what to do? I will do what's best for my family. And like, okay, first of all, there's the thing. See, this is where I'm going to get on my rant. First of all, there's the thing where like, I will do what's best for my family. You can do what's best for your family. The thing that is best for my family is you wearing a mask.
Right.
I am wearing a mask for your family.
Yeah, stopping the spread of communicable disease seems like what's best for my family.
Yeah.
I think it's best for everybody, really.
That's a very valid point. I think a stretch in this country.
I don't understand the personal liberties argument against wearing masks. I just don't. And I don't think
I'm totally with you.
Like, that's the thing. Like, and I think that like people get as far as seeing like people wear masks and then people still get sick when they're wearing masks, and so therefore masks are not effective. Like that is right. The logic train right there. And they fail to see that like, if I'm wearing a mask and you're wearing a mask, then it reduces the likelihood. Like it, like when two people are wearing masks, then it's less likely to get sick than if only one person is wearing a mask, because the one person is trying to protect the person not wearing the mask.
This is like that thing where
trigger warning, content warning for COVID.
Yeah, content warning.
No content warning. If you're on that side of the fence where you think mask use isn't effective, then you should be listening and you're a dumbass. So feel free to tune out.
I feel like it's very similar to like group project work. I think I've made this analogy before, where it's like, if one person is doing all the stuff, it doesn't actually matter. The project's still not going to get a good grade. But it's like, oh, but if we all did it, then the project would succeed. But it's like, I'm just doing group project work.
That analogy fails because if one person's doing all the work, they're obviously going to pull like a couple all-nighters and they're going to make it work anyway.
Still going to get an A.
So that they get an A. And then they're going to tell the teacher, like, look, so-and-so didn't help. And then, like, maybe that's that person's going to get an F.
They're not even caring the other people. But yeah. That's the thing that boggles my mind is that, like, and then there's, like, this weird, it's like, I'm trying to think of something that it's,
like, there's no way to offset it. Like, if there was a way, like, if I could just pile on masks on my face, like, put, like, multiple masks, like, I will wear a mask for me and a mask for you. That's cool. Like,
like that's the that thing works. Is that like you can do everything right and like still be susceptible, and so like it's just like there's also like this weird psychological shame attached.
Yeah,
it's like getting bed bugs or something. I don't even know what the equivalent is. It's like you don't have to be a bad person.
Yeah, no, for sure. Erin said that if we do come back positive, she's like, I don't know if I want to tell people because of what they will say.
Because they'll immediately make assumptions.
There's this value that is associated with being sick. Like you are, like it becomes like you are a dirty person.
Yeah.
It's like bed bugs or something. Like it's not something that you did, but like, honestly, it's a thing that the people that aren't wearing masks did to me, you know, like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm really hoping that it's just some stupid other thing.
Well, that's the thing is like when I got tested, it was just like any other year I would have been like, oh, it's, you know, like an autumn flu kind of thing. Like I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I just would have been, I mean, like what I do normally when I'm sick, which is like lay low and all that. But like this year's different than other years.
But you didn't notice any taste or smell things.
No, no.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, upside is if that is what it is, I think I at least am probably at the tail end of it, at least the tail end of symptoms. So,
yeah,
it's just a matter of quarantining for however long.
Yeah,
which you know would be fun to get to quarantine right before Halloween. Not that we were gonna do anything on Halloween, other than we were gonna go over to Aaron's parents' place and like carve pumpkins and stuff and like do like some sort of like candy exchange sort of thing, you know, with them, but like. You know, just to do something, just to put on our costumes and do something. But
like I'm just basically planning to like, I don't know, go out and look at the full moon if there's not clouds. I don't know, something.
So my brother and sister-in-law are coming into town. They're bringing my niece and two nephews. We're all going to dress up on Saturday. And
what are the costume choices that are happening?
You know, it's all over the place. So Tyler is Alexander Hamilton, but like the head of currency. So like it's he's on the 10, right? 10 or 5? I don't know. What dollar bill is he on? I'm not sure. Whatever bill he's 10, on, right? 10. I'm pretty sure it's a 10, but I said it and I felt dumb when I said it. So
I'll go 10. On the record and say 10. This is binary jazz. So if we're wrong, it's fine.
That's a good point. So he's got this, it's beautiful. It's just like a cutout and his head's in it. It's great. Katie is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Nice.
I love your family.
Charlotte is a purple bunny.
Done. Solid hit.
I am going to be Joe Exotic.
Nice.
And Rhonda is, who's the lady he hated?
Oh, Carol Baskins.
Baskin, yep. Yeah. So, and we're going to the Transportation Museum in North Carolina, which is like an outdoor thing and limited attendance. And it's great for little kids. I have no idea what my brother's side of the family is going to be dressed as, but I intend to go dressed as Joe Exotic tomorrow, spend the whole day.
Excellent. Good choice.
And actually, I wish I'd been thinking, I would have costumed up for this because my next meeting in about 30 minutes, I intend to go throw on the fake piercings and hair and the stick-on mustache, at least from the head up, you know, or the neck
up. So Gavin has upgraded his steampunk cosplay. It's really more of a cosplay than a costume at this point. So he added a couple things. He got a new set of goggles. He's got like this armband thing. I don't know what he's supposed to be, but it's like some cool steampunky thing. It's looking pretty good actually. And Lila is a sort of vampire princess thing. She is like borrowed one of Aaron's like crushed velvet dresses and has this like cloak thing, and she has a flower crown because she's a vampire princess.
Yeah, sure.
Aaron is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I...
Oh no,
it's stuck. RBU is going hot this year. A lot of costumes.
Even though they actually had a place to wear their costumes and I don't really, we decided like, you know, wear this. This is too fitting.
Oh, that's awesome.
So for those of you listening, this is
a plague, showing up to video calls.
A plague doctor mask. And I have, I was going to wear a trench coat. And I've got like a little like leather hat sort of thing. And makes a long so cane and wear some gloves. Be menacing and plague
that mask
because it's pretty appropriate, especially given this week's testing. I have a bunch of tissue paper toilet paper in the beak because I wanted to sort of shape the beak because when it came it was flat. Let's see how it's been sitting there for a long time, so let's see if it's actually takes its shape, because I don't want to keep the toilet paper in there. I think it's probably pretty good now. Yeah, it kind of folds up. Here we go. It's all right. Anyway, yeah, this might be a mask for next year too, since, you know, not going anywhere with it.
Yeah. It can be like kind of a trial run and then see what happens. Yeah, right? Deep sigh. That's what I'm going as for Halloween.
Yeah, it's so appropriate. We had a tropical storm blow through yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Which was formerly a hurricane when it hit the Gulf Coast. And holy cow, we had raked last weekend. But like you couldn't see grass at all in my yard from the leaves and branches and twigs and kind of mayhem. There's a hickory tree directly out in front of me that is like 80% empty now. And yesterday morning it was almost entirely still full. So pretty fantastic.
What was the name of your favorite tree again?
Yolanta.
That's the name of the tree, or that's a name that you gave the tree?
That's the name I gave the tree. It's a hickory tree. Okay. It's a big regal tree just beyond where the kids play. There's actually a vine working its way up in that I haven't been able to see because of the leaves obscuring it. I mean, I could see it in the lower levels, but now I can see it almost all the way up. So as the leaves fall, I'm going to be getting that thing pulled down, making sure it's not connected to the ground in any way and feeding itself and taking over that tree. But there's like a branch that's wound around. And
so we haven't topicked.
Looking at trees with Gary.
Yeah, looking at trees with Gary. We haven't topicked.
Had a topic.
And that's fine. We can keep it for next week. We're playing catch up. I feel like the two Allison questions that we have in the queue are specifically targeted to be most torturous to me currently.
Well, let's read them then.
Because...
But can we just say that I submitted them way before?
totally unrelated because, like, yeah, they're weeks ago. But just the timing is pretty damn appropriate. We have, you can only use one spice for the rest of your life. What is it? And no, salt doesn't count. The one spice I would use for the rest of my life in everything would be garlic, probably, if I could taste it. Everything's going to be like, if I could taste it.
Yeah.
Like, could I cheat and say five spice?
I'll allow it.
All right.
Like a blend.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it would have to be a blend, honestly, of some sort. Sponsored by Penzies.
Probably go cumin.
Cumin, yeah, that's a good one. The thing about cumin is you can use it in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Like it can be like it's in like chili, but it's also in like Indian food. Like it's in all mm-hmm. sorts of things. Yeah. And then Allison, question number two.
I'm so sorry.
It's almost like you saw it coming. Allison, question number two is, what is the most delicious thing you've eaten lately? And I would say, like, because part of us realizing that food didn't taste good. Well, I've been saying that for a while. I've been noticing that like tea hasn't tasted like anything, and just mm-hmm. other things just tasted very like bland. We made this Thai curry soup, which is usually amazing, and it just kind of tasted very, very bland. And so like I noticed that already. And so then we got Indian food a couple nights ago. And that would have been the most delicious thing I've eaten lately, if I was able to taste it. Again, it's just very, like I could feel the heat of some things, and like certain flavors like zing a lot more, like the tamarind sauce for like samosas and stuff, like I, you know, but like, you know, had coconut curry, and that just kind of tasted vaguely coconutty. The roti doesn't taste like, I mean, it tasted like cardboard, kind of. I mean, I don't know. It's very strange experience to not.
Well, it sounds hypothetically delicious.
Yeah. It would be great.
The question is, most delicious thing you've eaten recently?
Most delicious thing you've eaten lately.
Lately.
No wrong answer.
Yeah.
You could even make something up and we would likely not know.
Rhonda's sister's best friend is from India. And so she has been like providing cooking tips. So we did like a mushroom curry that like blew my mind. I say we, Rhonda did. And it was phenomenal. We, in the sense that she cooked it and I ate a lot of it. But it would have to be something Indian as of late, because there's been a lot of crazy trial and error with Indian food. Why not?
Mine is Indian food as well. We've made this dish that's like sag paneer, but instead of the paneer, I guess, you use feta and it's delicious. And it's like also the most successful we've been with Indian food from this one, but like we've done it before and not to much success, but this was the first thing where I'm like, I feel like we really nailed the spices. And we did that with parathas, which is are like it's like potato dough, mm-hmm. and then you fry them, which I mean, like, how can that not be good? But
yeah, that's fair.
real feta or like a vegan feta?
No, real feta. I couldn't find vegan feta.
We found.
Have you ever found it?
We have found a vegan feta. We haven't cracked into it yet, but we heard that it existed and we started looking for it. So, not sure what we're going to use it on yet, but we have it, and I will report back. Usually, when we do that, we replace the paneer with tofu, and we do sog tofu,
yeah.
or tofu nice. Sog.
Katie has decided that she's a vegetarian a couple weeks back, and so that's of course changed dinner. We had like an excellent vegetarian chili not too long ago. That was like lunch for me.
I call that chili.
Yeah. I guess I could say like, yeah, I could just say chili, couldn't I? Like it was
beef, and then beef-free. Meat chili is different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had that for chili, lunch for, no exaggeration, like 4 days afterwards. Good call. Yeah. So I had that for lunch, and I tried a different ways of spicing it every day for lunch, which was fantastic. It was also regrettable because after a certain amount of spices, days of like really spicy stuff in your body's like, hey, maybe you could tone it down a little bit.
Maybe you don't eat chili for 4 days straight.
That's another option that I hadn't considered. Maybe I'll keep that in my back pocket for the future. It doesn't seem likely though. It's just not how I roll. I open the fridge, I'm like, ooh, leftovers.
Ooh, what's this?
Is that not the best part of like remote work? at working at home, like last night's leftovers for lunch. It's just,
I just get so tired of leftovers, but that's been mostly a problem in the last few months that I'm just like, I'm just so bored with food. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's the same. These are the same leftovers.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly.
We've read stories about people who had COVID and lost their sense of taste, and how it like, Aaron's read this one story about this woman who like lost 20 pounds or something because food doesn't taste good. So there's like far less incentive to eat it. Like, so mm-hmm. she went on a juice diet, you know, like just ate all the things that she wouldn't eat normally, or like did, you know, like, or wouldn't do normally just because it tastes bad, because you can't taste anything anyway. So like, what's like, now's the time to do it. And then the novelty wore off. But yeah, so we're currently at the point where we're kind of wondering how long this is going to last and to what degree it's going to affect our like how much we want to like get stuff out and spend money on
food.
Nice tasting food. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to make gruel.
It also probably affects how you cook, because you taste something and you're like, I don't know if I put too much salt in this. Like, I can't, like.
I'm a strict recipe follower. I don't do that. Oh. I don't do that tasting while I mean, sometimes I just toss stuff in, but like I tasting and seeing how it is probably not how I work.
I wish that I followed recipes a bit more. When Rhonda was traveling up here, we were still in Florida, and I had the kids. Like, one day I was like, I'm making chili, and I made the best chili I've ever made. And I wish I knew
how you did it.
Yep. I have no idea how. I long for that chili, honestly.
There's no replicating it.
No, and I know that I did weird stuff with it. Like, it was like I looked at like some seasoning and I'm like, oh, there's only a little bit of this left. Just dump it all in. And like, I've still felt like I needed a little more spice, so I grabbed something really bizarre. And I wish I remember what the bizarre thing was. And
that's why that's why you're testing all the different spices with your chili leftovers. So you're trying to recreate that chili.
I don't think I could by spicing it, honestly, because the nature of that chili was like the flavor came from it all sitting there and like stewing in itself all day. Whereas this was like out of the fridge, spice in the microwave, make it really hot. It was a little different approach. Yeah, the root flavor profile can't be modified. You can only add effects to it. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know a thing about cooking. So if you take away anything from the show, please don't let that be it.
We got a
Gary, certified chili wizard.
We have a subscription to Misfits Market, which is one of those like imperfect produce sort of box subscription things too. So we got our first box this week. That was a thing that happened too. That was pretty good.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. So like, there's imperfect produce is what we heard of, which was because we have friends in the Pacific Northwest who did it. And then Misfits Market just became available in our area. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Big box of veggies or organic fresh veggies and some like pantry items they have that they sell. And it's pretty neat. I have a...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.